I'd like for you to, let's look at a couple of scriptures before we get started. Would you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 34, please? I would like to lay a foundation here with a few scriptures I think will help us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 34, the Bible says, "If any man hunger, let him eat at home, that he come not together unto condemnation. And the rest," watch this, "will I set in order when I come." Go to chapter 14 and verse 40, please. Chapter 14 and verse 40. "Let all things be done decently," and then I want you to underline this little phrase, "and in order." Go to chapter 15, please, and verse 23. Chapter 15 and verse 23. Chapter 15 and verse 23. "But every man in his own order," underline that, "every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming." Titus chapter 1 and verse 5. If you find Titus, and then you'll find Hebrews, keep backing up. And Titus speaks about, Titus chapter 1 and verse 5, this: "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting." I want to talk to you this morning about God's divine order. God's divine order. And I want you to go back to Psalm 100, because that's our text verse is found in verse 4. And I want to talk to you about God's divine order. Or I could call it, "Get all your ducks in a row." I could call it that. And you've got your ducks, but they're just not in a row. And so I want you to listen carefully this morning for a few moments. Father, help me now to help. Holy Ghost of God, I want to be a blessing. I want to help the folks. So I pray that everyone would listen. Listen intently. Sit up straight. Listen for your word to change their lives. And so God, talk to all of us. Talk to me. Talk to all of us. Flow through me this morning. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Did you ever wonder why the fellow next to you in church can shout and you sit there feeling nothing? Have you wondered why it is the preacher is so excited about the truth that he's preaching, the Bible truth, and it doesn't seem to do a thing for you? Did you ever feel a shout and excitement about some soul getting saved, and then the next time you found yourself not feeling anything? Did you ever wish you could feel like you felt before at one time? Did you ever say to yourself, "Now this is God's word, how come I don't feel anything?" Did you ever say, "Man, this is a great sermon, how come I'm not shouting?" Certain sermons I've preached, I just get beside myself over some statements or some point or a certain point in that message. But the next time I come across that point, it doesn't seem to have the same impact on me that it had the time before. Has that ever happened to you? Or am I the only one? Now, there is a divine order that God gives and has given to us. Did you ever wonder why you don't shout over souls getting saved like you did the last time you saw people getting saved? I'm going to explain it to you this morning. God has a divine order. Did you ever pray and not feel anything? What's the problem? The problem is we have violated God's divine order. But if we could ever get the Bible recipe for joy and happiness down pat, we'd have it made. Now, I'm going to help you this morning, so I want you to get your pen out, and I want you to write some things down. In Psalm 100 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving." So circle the word thanksgiving. Now, number one, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. He's talking about the tabernacle here. The psalmist lived during the tabernacle time. And the psalmist David gathered the materials for the temple that his son Solomon was going to build. But David himself lived during the time of the temporary tabernacle. Now, when David mentioned gates and courts, he's talking about the tabernacle or the house of God. Now, this tabernacle was not the wilderness tabernacle. It was the temporary tabernacle. This tabernacle had three gates. The Bible says, I'm to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. So, the first thing, I'm to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. So, I'm to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Now, number two, then you would find yourself in the courtyard with praise. So write down praise. So I'm to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Then I find myself in the courtyard with praise. A wall, there was a wall around the court, but I find myself in that courtyard. And the Bible says, if I enter into the gates with thanksgiving, I'll find myself in the courtyard with praise. Now, notice you must come through the gates before you can get to the courts. So don't miss this. You can't get to praise until you get to thanksgiving. God is using his house to teach us his divine order. Enter into his gates with what? Tell me. Thanksgiving. Say it again. Enter into his gates with what? Thanksgiving. Now, that you have thanksgiving, you qualify, don't miss this, you qualify to praise God in the courtyard. So, but you enter the gates with thanksgiving, then you qualify when you get in the courtyard to praise God. Now, third. Now, on the left side of the tent-like place of the tabernacle is the golden candlestick. Now, you enter into his gates with thanksgiving. You enter into his courts with praise. Then you come face to face with a candlestick, which represents holding up Jesus as the light of the world. So write this down. Write soul winning down. He's talking about soul winning. So I enter into his gates with what? Thanksgiving. I enter then into his courtyards with what? Praise. Then I come face to face, excuse me, with the golden candlestick, which is represents holding up Jesus as the light of the world. So he's talking about soul winning, and that's inside of the tabernacle. So I enter into the gates with thanksgiving. I enter into the courtyards with praise. I then come face to face with the golden candlestick of soul winning. So there must be a divine order here that God has for us. Now listen to me. You cannot praise God effectively until you have thanked God intently. You cannot win souls effectively until you praise God, and you cannot praise God effectively until you have thanked God intently. Now, it's not this kind of a thing you pray, you know, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Bless Mama and Daddy and Grandma and Grandpa and all the missionaries around the world. There is something more to this, and we wonder why we're not effective soul winners. We wonder why we're not effective in our praise life, and it's very simple. We've got to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Then we go into the courtyard, then praise will occur because of the thanksgiving. And then when the praise occurs, we will be effective soul winners then because of that. Until you have a heart of thankfulness, you cannot have a heart filled with praise. Until you have a heart filled with praise, you cannot be an effective soul winner. If you know, I'm not saying you can't win souls. I'm saying an effective soul winner. I'm not saying you can't get people saved. I'm just saying an effective soul winner. So don't miss this. Praise is built upon the realization of what God has done for you. And if you don't have it written down, what God has done for you, you cannot have an effective praise life. You can't do it. So you enter into his gates with thanksgiving, a definite list of things. Do you know how to smile? Okay, I want all the women, all the females to stand. All the females to stand. I've got to know you're on my side. You've got to let me know. I want to see your pearly white. Smile at me. Smile at me, okay? Smile at me. Okay, you got it? Now sit down and keep it up. You're not very pretty when you don't smile, and I wonder if you're coming after me. Now, I want all you men to say amen. Thank you very much. So, praise is built upon the realization of what God has done for you. Consequently, when you say, thank you, God, for my health. Thank you, God, for my family. Thank you, God, for my job. Thank you, God, for my college. Thank you, God, for my school. Thank you, God, for my salvation. Thank you, God, for my country. Thank you, God, for my church. Thank you, God, for my friends. Thank you, God, for my Bible. Thank you, God, for my freedom. Thank you, God, for my eternal security. Thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, that I have a preacher. Thank you, God, I have a youth director. Thank you, God, we have a bus ministry. Thank you, God, my family's healthy. Thank you, God, and go on and on. Well, look what's happening already. Now, if we as an individual then will sit down and on purpose and intently thank God, we then can enter in effectively into the courtyards with praise. All of a sudden your heart swells with thanksgiving and praise comes out of your mouth. But until you come to the gate of thanksgiving, you'll never know the court of praise. That's why some of you don't shout. Well, it's just not my personality. You know, I just don't have that. Oh, shut up. You backslid. You know you backslid. You're not right with God. You know it. Now face it. Get right with God. If you, my friend, if you have ever shouted over anything, you're a hypocrite. Boom! You see the deer I shot? And you will shout about it, but then you won't shout about the Word of God. Help me! Help me now with moose hunting. I kill me a big moose. And then you won't shout about the Word of God. There's something wrong with you. How many are saved on your way to heaven? How many are going to miss hell and go to heaven when you die? Well, good night. That's worth shouting about. A hole in one. I did it. I did it. I did it. I did it. If you... I haven't, but somebody around the world has. But if you ever have, you jump up and shout, well, good night, then you ought to be able to shout out something more important than a hole in one. I'll say it again. If you have ever shouted one time in your life, you're backslid with God. You're not right with God. Oh, you're right with golf. Now you're right with hunting. Big white hunter. Ugh. You're right with hunting, but you're not right with God. And whatever you're right with, that's what you shout about. I'll wait. You're not kidding me. You're not kidding me at all. I've earned every one of these gray hairs I have. Now, somewhere in here, you have to enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Until you come to the gate of thanksgiving, you'll never know the court of praise. You've never stopped to thank God for what God has done for you, and that's why you don't have praise. Here's your amen. Some of your amens. Here's your amen. Amen. You know, it's almost like you're Geraldine and Ricky, you know. You're Ricky, the dummy, you know. Amen. I don't even know. They don't know who Geraldine and Ricky are. Well, that shows how old we are. But you know, how many are saved? Here's what happened. No, I'm not asking. I'm just going to. Okay. Look at me. How many are saved? Here's what some of you do. What does that mean? You're a Nazarene working on it or what? The first step to all of this is thanksgiving, because thanksgiving is the only, listen to this statement, thanksgiving is the only trait of all of these that can be done without the other inspiring it to be done. Anybody can write down salvation. Anybody can write down family. Anybody can write down America. Anybody can write down freedom. Anybody can write down King James Bible. Anybody can write down once saved, always saved. Anybody can do that. You know, some of you, we could take a full picture of you, make a cardboard cutout, bend you, tape you to the pew, and you could stay home. Because you look the same. You've never changed. Your facial expression never changes. But I guarantee you, you used your laughter on something. Yeah, oh yeah, talk to me. You use your laughter on something. I'm saying our problem is we got to sit down, take a pen, take a piece of paper, and write down what God has done for us. And I promise you, you write and you write and you write, and after a while, you ladies will be smiling, nod your head up and down. You men will be waving your Bible, saying, glory to God, hallelujah. Why? You can't help it. It just swells on the inside, and you start shouting about it. That's why certain songs do that to you. The song we sing about heaven. Man, I just can't sit there. I hear that song the choir sings, and I just can't do it. It just swells in me and swells in me, and I can't help it. I have to shout. Every once in a while, I'll go to a Pine Tree football game or a Lobo football game because we have some public school kids who come here. But I can't just say, nice run. I can't do it. You know, good shot. I can't do it. Nice tackle. Do you know what I say? Glory to God. Amen. It's just praise God. It's just part of me. Now, it'll clear that section of the stands out, but amen. I can't help it. When I get excited about something, I don't say, great tackle. I say, glory to God, he hit that guy well. Now, I don't know what God and the hit's got to do together, but it's just part of it. Now, I'm saying to you, the first step is get your pen out, get you a piece of paper, and sit down and write down what God has done for you. There's no sense in you fussing with your wife. There's no sense in you fussing with your husband. There's no sense in you being aggravated all the time. That's absolutely ridiculous. And I'll tell you why. It's because you've not stopped to think about how good God has been to you. If you're going to miss hell, you have got it made. Anybody can write down the things God has done for them and thank God for what He's done. The biggest grouch in this auditorium can list something that God has done for you. I can say to Dr. Rousseau, thank you, without any emotion. But I can say it enough and I'll get emotional about it. That thanksgiving leads to effective praise. Don't miss this. That effective praise then leads to effective soul winning. Now, number four. You come to the table of showbread. Now, the table of showbread represents the Word of God. So write down, Word of God. So we enter into His gates with thanksgiving. We, on purpose, list what God has done for us. Now, we list so many things that it begins to swell in us, and we have effective praise. Then we come face to face with the candlestick. Now, guess what? Now we have effective soul winning. Now, don't miss this. Now, the table of showbread represents the Word of God, which is the bread of life. So God's divine order is this. You first list something for to be thankful for, and you say to God, thank you. Then you enter into His gates with thanksgiving. You then, our souls swell up on the inside. Because of that, you enter into His courts with praise. Then you find yourself being an effective winner of souls. And you're supposed to go soul winning even if you don't know the Bible. You hear what I said? You're supposed to go soul winning even if you don't know the Bible. Some of the best soul winners I know are not deeper lifers. They're saved. Glad they're not going to hell. Got to tell somebody. The woman at the well didn't know anything about the Scripture. But she went and did what the staff couldn't do when they went to town. So you come to the table of showbread or the Word of God. You'll not know the Word of God. Listen to this statement, I'll help you. Until you become a soul winner. I don't understand this. The activity, God sent His Son so that the world couldn't be kept from going to hell. And yet that you don't even show up for that activity. The whole purpose of this church is to organize ourselves, taught, mature, and get the gospel out. Yet you don't even show up for the number one activity of this church. You know, something. I think there's something missing here. Something not quite right. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, I'll do it on my own time. You won't either. That's why your boss tells you to show up at 7 o'clock. Your boss doesn't trust you. The company you work for does not trust you. That's why they have time clocks. Because they don't trust you. Human nature is such that it'll always will drift. So the boss says, you better be here at 7 o'clock every day if you want your job. Well, then don't you think the Church of Jesus Christ ought to have a time when we come together and say, this is it. Such and such a time. This is it. For we can go together, encourage each other, go two by two, according to Luke 10, and win the world to Christ. This is it. This is it. Now, I'm saying to you, the reason you don't show up is because you have never entered in the gates of thanksgiving. If you'd ever take the time, and I'm going to help you this morning. I'll hurt you tonight, but I'll help you this morning. If you'd ever take the time and list, it's the first time they've smiled, list all the things that God has done for you, I promise you, you can't help it. You're going to praise God. Then when you effectively praise God, guess what's going to happen? You're going to tell people how to be saved. Then what's going to happen? The Bible's going to open up to you. Okay, here's you. Why do we do this? How come you do that? What's the reason for this? I don't understand this. How does this? I've got a stack of emails I have to answer every week of the work from people who ask questions. How can we do that? What's the reason for that? How long have you been saved? Been saved 25 years. But why do we do that? How can we do that? How can we do that? How long have you been saved? 25 years. I don't know. How do you do that? How can you do that? What do you do? Oh, Lord, help us. What's the matter with you? If you knew how hard it was to win soul, get people saved, get them to church now and baptize, you, how come you, how come you don't, why do you, oh, my friend, enter into the gates of thanksgiving. Start writing some things down that God has done for you. I promise you, you'll end up praising God, and I promise you can't help it. It won't be just Sunday morning, hallelujah. It won't be Sunday night, praise God. It'll be Monday. Hey, read this. I want to tell you how to get saved. Dude, I want to tell you how to get saved. Why? It starts with you entering in the gates. Somebody help me now. Thankfulness, praise, soul winning, then the Word of God. You'll not become a soul winner, effective soul winner, until you effectively praise God. You'll not effectively praise God until you become thankful to God. So you have first, thankfulness. Second, praise. Third, soul winning. Fourth, the Word of God. Thank God. Praise God. Tell folks about God before you can learn about God. Didn't he say, get in my yoke? Listen to this now. Didn't he say, get in my yoke and learn of me? So apparently you got to get in the work first. May I say quickly number five, because you're mad about number four. Number five. Now you come to the altar of incense. The altar of incense is symbolic, according to Revelation chapter 5, of, write it down, prayer. God is saying, if you want to get your prayers answered, you've got to know the book. Now turn to John 15, verse 7, quickly. John chapter 15 and verse 7. I'll read it. I've already got it, so listen carefully. You see, how come you already got it? I cheated. John 15, 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. All right. Now turn to 1 John, if you would, please. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. I already have it, so listen carefully. 1 John 5, 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, what we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now what comes before this? The Word of God. You go to a court, and you go to a higher court, and go to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court decides to hear or not hear you based off as a constitutional issue. All right, is it in the Constitution? God says, you come to me and plead to me and plead to me. I've got to check the book to make sure it's in the book. If it's in the book, I'll hear you. If it's not in the book, I'm not going to hear you. So that prayer for that new Lexus you're praying for, I'm sorry. Boy, I want Ed McMahon to come to my house and ring the doorbell and give me $10 million. I'm praying that God will allow that to happen. Sorry. I had a young Christian come to me a few years ago and said, pray for me, Pastor. It's really urgent. And I said, what is it? I said, I want to win the lottery. He said, I promise you, if I win the lottery, I'll give 10% to the church. You know what? God never answered that prayer. I wish he had of. Now, I'm just saying that's not according to the book. So first you have thankfulness. Don't miss this now. Then you have praise. And the amount of praise depends on the amount of thankfulness. Then you have soul winning, and the amount of the soul winning production depends on the amount of praise, which depends on the amount of the, I hope somebody's listening, the amount of the thankfulness. Then you come to the altar of incense or the matter of prayer. So the matter of prayer is being answered. It depends upon the Word of God and depends upon then the amount of soul winning. It depends upon the amount of praise because each builds the other and gets the other. I want to know more about the Bible because I'm having so many people ask me so many questions about the Bible. Oh, Holy Ghost of God, you've got to teach me the Bible because I've got to. I answer 5 to 6 questions a day on my phone. People go, what's this mean? What's this mean? What's this mean? I've got to know the Bible. Now, my knowing of the Bible and my effectiveness depends on my spreading the Word. It depends on my amount of praise, which depends on my thankfulness. Now I come to prayer. Now, God is saying if you want to get your prayers answered, you've got to know the book. God does not answer the prayers of non-Bible-loving Christians. He hears you, but He does not answer. If you get your prayers answered, first, you must enter into the gate. I'm not making this up. It's in the Bible. I must enter into the gates with thanksgiving. Now, how much thanksgiving do I have? Thank you for Mom. Well, that's it. So, here's what you do when you get in the court. Whoopee. But then you start saying, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you for heaven. Thank you for a place. There'll be no sickness or no death, no separation of family, no cancer. Oh, thank you, Lord, for a security of the believer, knowing that I'm saved and eternally saved because of Jesus Christ. Thank you for greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Thank you for my mom. Thank you for my dad. Thank you for my country. Thank you for my church. Thank you. And the more you do that, the more you swell, the more you swell, the more you got to just do this. You got to let it out. You got to let it out. So when you let it out, you got to tell somebody how to be saved so that they can enjoy it. The next thing you know, then they start asking you questions. I got to get to know the Bible. I got to answer these people. So I love the Bible because I've got some souls that are asking me. They're bugging me. I'm forced to. Now I've got to pray. I want to pray. I get to pray. And I'm an effective prayer now because of this. So first I enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Then I enter in to praise. Then I enter into soul winning. Then I enter into His Word. Then I enter into prayer. Now, the basis of prayer is God's Word. The basis of God's Word is soul winning. The basis of soul winning is praise. The basis of praise is thanksgiving. So the formula is thanksgiving produces praise. If you have never had a spell and threw a fit publicly or privately, you have never been thankful. So make a list. Think about that list. Ponder that list. And you'll have to shout. Then you enter His gates with thanksgiving and then get into His praise, His courts with praise. You must come into the gate of thanksgiving before you can get into the court of praise. So get alone. List your blessings. Think about those blessings. Thank God for those blessings. Become genuinely thankful. Then you'll enter into the court of praise and you can't help it. You're just going to have to shout amen. You're just going to have to. You're just going to have to. Our family was traveling through West Virginia. We went to Bluefield, West Virginia on a Sunday morning, stopped at the First Baptist Church of Bluefield, West Virginia, and went into the service, and it was obviously a well-to-do church. I mean, ladies with furs and men with big diamonds, and it was a fancy outfit. This was the first Sunday this pastor, being pastor of that church, they called him the pastor. I did not know this till I got there, but this was his first Sunday. And he was a young man, and he was an excited fella. We sat in the back of the auditorium. He got up, and he got to preaching. And boy, he was preaching his heart out. There wasn't a holy grunt in that whole outfit. And we're sitting in the back. Lady in front of me had a big hat on, a big feather. And every time the air conditioner blow, the feather would go like this. And the shell would go ding like that. And we'd sit there and laugh about that hat. We thought that was so funny. It was the most exciting thing going on there that morning. And so we're sitting in the back of the auditorium, and the preacher's preaching his heart out. So I decided we're going to help him. So I started hollering amen. He said a point. I said amen. Now, the preacher just froze in midair because somebody responded to him, and he was excited about it, but he couldn't figure out where it was coming from. So it was like a radar. He'd say the same thing, try to catch this section. He wanted to know where it was from. Well, finally, when him and I connected, boy, he pitched it to me, and I hollered amen, and I pitched it back. And we're having a time. We're having a time. Down the row was this elderly gentleman, and he leaned forward like that, and he started grinning like that, and I said, come on, man, help us. And his wife hit him like that, and she went, you better not, you better not. And he's preaching, I'm hollering amen. He's preaching, I'm hollering amen. And finally, this guy got his nerve up, this elderly gentleman, and he said, amen. Really a lot of courage there. But they kept on hollering. And pretty soon, we had a whole row hollering amen. Pretty soon. So after the service, the preacher walked up, shook my hand. He said, you just moved to town, aren't you? And you're looking for a church, aren't you? And you're going to join our church tonight, aren't you? And I said, nope. He said, oh, you're a preacher, aren't you? I said, yeah. Well, look, folks, you know, you could shout just as much as the preacher shouts. You could have some praise just as much as I hate a dead church service. I hate it with a passion. But I hate to tell you this, it's not the preaching that causes it. It's the people sitting in the pews that cause it. There's such a thing as spirit-filled preaching, but there's such a thing as spirit-filled hearing. Now, I say to you, number one, gates of thankfulness. Start writing things down. Thank God. Then guess what's going to happen? You effectively thank God. You will effectively praise. You effectively praise. You're going to effectively win souls. You effectively win souls. You're going to effectively get to know God's Word. You do that, you're going to be an effective prayer warrior. And then number six, last of all, you enter the Holy of Holies. Now what's that? That's an intimate walk with God. 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 Billy Sunday, it said, would walk down the street. He'd be talking to God. And his wife would say, Billy, did you say something to me? He'd say, no, Ma, I'm just talking to God. Just talking to God. Just talking to God. An intimate walk with God. A walk that Lee Robertson has. John Rice had it. Billy Sunday had it. Jack Hiles had it. Bill Rice had it. But as long as you slop down in the pew and like a bunch of little teenagers and sleep while the preacher, you're not walking with God. Intimate walk with God. A personal walk with God. I'm just saying to you this morning, I'm trying to help you. I'm not trying to hurt you. You enter the gates of thanksgiving, with thanksgiving. Write some things down. There's no sense you coming here and enduring a church service. Write some things down. Write them down. And then you'll start praising God. Now, I want all you men to holler amen right now. Holler. Amen. See what a difference it makes? Praise God. You know, with the fruit of your lips, Hebrews 13:15, I'm not making this up, you're supposed to praise God. Now, saying amen doesn't mean you're spiritual, but it does sure keep you awake. I love that story Dr. Howard Hall tells. He led this guy to Christ to the Air Force Base at Barksdale. Air Force Base. Guy got saved. Comes to church. Man, Brother Hall's church is a shouting, waving a Bible, an amen church. So, this guy comes a few weeks, and pretty soon he starts shouting and waving his Bible. He gets in trouble, has to stay on the base, so he has to do KP. So, they let him go to the chaplain service. So, he went to the chaplain service, and it just so happened this chaplain was a brand new chaplain. This was all new to him. And so, they had this chapel service. If you've ever been in a military chapel service, you know how dead they are. They're just dead. So this old boy goes in there sitting out. He's excited. He's been saved about 6 weeks, and he's excited. He goes in there, and he's got his Bible. Well, this chaplain is just monotone. But finally, he says something that this guy recognizes from the Bible. When he did, he came unscrewed. And he stood and started shouting and waving his Bible and having a time. And the chaplain said, "Ho! Who said that? Who said that?" Well, this guy raised his hand. He said, "I want to see you in my office after the service." Growled at him. Guy sat back down. He didn't know what he'd done wrong. He went to the office. The chaplain said to him, "What did you say out there?" He said, "Well, sir, I said amen." "A what?" "Amen." "Amen? What's that mean?" It means I agreed with you. "You agreed with me?" "Yeah, you know, you said something I recognize and like. That you liked it?" He said, "Yeah." The chaplain didn't even like his own sermon. But "You like that?" "Yeah." You agreed with what I said?" "Yeah." He said, "Well, sir, it would be as if you said, ye must be born again. And I being a born again person, then I would say amen." The chaplain said, "Ye must be what?" "Born again." He said, "What's that?" So this fellow took the Bible and led the chaplain to Christ. Anybody listen to me? Led him to Christ. Do you know what the chaplain did the next 6 weeks? He stood up and said, "I'm going to be preaching a series on ye must be born again." All because one man decided he entered in the gates with thanksgiving and he had praise. And it was so much he couldn't help it. He had to say amen. He had to. It says about Paul in Acts 17 that he was so stirred. Acts 18. He was so stirred in the Spirit that Acts 19. I'll get back with you tonight. He was so stirred in the Spirit that he preached Christ unto the Jews. Do you realize he was a member of the Sanhedrin court? Do you realize that the Roman government allowed them to kill people, capital punishment on anybody who said that Jesus was the Messiah, a heretic? And do you realize that Paul was so zealous about it that Paul said, "Give me the warrants. We'll not wait to stumble on these heretics. Give me the warrants. I'll chase them down." And Paul did. He got warrants, went to Damascus. That's all you got to say. He was hunting them down. Do you realize he knew the consequence of preaching that Jesus was the Savior? But he was so stirred. He was so thankful to God. It didn't matter. Kill me if you want to kill me. Do what you want to do. I can't help it. My soul is swelling. I can't keep my mouth shut. And his spirit was stirred in him. In one of those chapters. Could it be there's something wrong with you? Michigan won their football game. Mrs. Gray, she loved it. Mrs. Gray spoke in tongues last night. She was so excited about it. Nebraska got beat. So Mrs. Ayers is crying. Brother Ayers are crying this morning. But you know what? If we ever have an emotion about something outside of this place, and you can't have an emotion. Let me check you out. How many of you are saved? Maybe that's the problem. Okay. Then you're going to be walking on the streets of gold, and you're going to be in heaven forever. If you can shout about something outside of this place, then I think there's something wrong with your... You're not thinking on the right things. I don't want to live that way. When I go somewhere to preach, let me tell you something. The first guy that preaches, I amen him. I holler for him. I cheer him on. I'm not back there criticizing. Oh, he misquoted that verse. Yeah, I heard that illustration before. Boy, it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And so does your fish story, too. I don't do that. I cheer him on. He's preaching the truth, and I want to cheer him on. Now, you be that way. You'd be amazed. How come your head's down right now? I'm preaching to you. It's not read your Bible on your own time. I'm trying to help you. I want you to know God's divine order. I want you to get in that flow of it and watch what God does in your life. And God will do some miraculous things in your life if you'll get in that divine flow. And don't get out of it. And don't let somebody try to talk you out of it. You stay in it. Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.